This morning, I'm abandoning my notes. We have some wonderful teams that work in this church, and one of my teams is what we call, for lack of a better term, a creative team, where every 2 weeks they sit with me and we talk about what we're teaching, what we're preaching. And I love this team because they're so honest. When they think that something is, you know, I have this tendency to want to take this much information and make it this much when I really need to make it this much. And they're so faithful to talk to me about that. And I tell you, it's a challenge to my mind because I like to develop it and have it proven and all of that stuff, you know. But as I've kept this before God, I realize there are some specific things that He wants to say this morning about His mercy. And I'm telling you, the mercies of God is something that has been so precious to me. And I'm not talking about years ago. I'm talking about last week. The mercies of God that I just last week, He brought to my attention some things that I had been living in. No, not overt sin, but things I had been living in that were old ideas that if I was going to go on with what He's doing now, I needed to change. But here was the problem. I liked it. I liked that religious mindset I had been living in. Anybody ever been there? That, you know, it's kind of the household I was born into. And yeah, I came out of it a little ways, but then set up another camp. And God's saying, come on now. I'm going to lead you by the cloud. I'm going to lead you by the pillar, but I'm going to lead you. I'm going to take you some places. And I need you to come along. I need you to leave that camp. And in that, I experienced the mercies of God again, because God's mercy is such a wonderful thing. And when you really first see what it is, it appears that God just comes in the moment and enables you to want to change. But when you look at it closely and you look at what's been happening, you realize that that thing has been working inside of you for months, sometimes years. And that you can trace it out in the scripture. It's verifiable. But the mercy is something that comes to us long before we ask for it. And it's new every morning, and it causes contortions on the inside of us that is something like birth pains, that there's something in there trying to be birthed, something in there trying to come out, something dwelling in confinement and darkness something's not quite right, but there's a hunger, there's a longing inside of you for something more than just the normal day-to-day deal. And then the immediate response is when you finally recognize that that misery is Father. And He's, through His Spirit, He's working in you. The Christ in you is pounding against those walls and saying, all I want is you to be all that you were ever intended to be. I'm not trying to confine you. I'm not trying to give you a list of rules. I'm not trying to do any of those things. I'm just trying to show you what you were always intended to be. And then I asked Him, well, what is that? And He said, well, let's not worry about that. Let's worry about this next step. We want this great 5-year plan that in 5 years I'm going to be this person. I'm going to be head of this organization. I'm going to be doing this ministry in 5 years. We want God to give it to us. But tell me, where was that born? It was born in corporate America, wasn't it? It wasn't born in the heart of God at all. God's saying, now get up, come on, come with me into this next step. If you won't come into this next step, I'm not going to leave you alone, because my mercies are new every morning. I'm going to renew your misery tomorrow. I'm going to cause you to look with a very judgmental glance towards your peers tomorrow just like you did today, and I'm going to make you miserable because of it. Because if you refuse mercy to those around you, then you can't develop mercy for yourself. But if you will let it, my mercy will triumph over that judgment that's in you. I was thinking of our worship team as they were ministering this morning. Thank you, guys. You guys do such a good job. Such a good job. How much better does it get than touching the heart of God and allowing the public to see that what you're doing is worshiping? You're not trying to be anybody. You're not trying to put on a show. You're just worshiping. And yeah, I know there's those times when you struggle to get it right, but that's still not performance. It's because you want to worship more effectively. Thank you. What a team you are, all of you. It's an amazing thing that you help us with every day. And, you know, one of the reasons that we've resisted opening that up to too many people is because I don't want too many judgmental attitudes up there, because I want mercy demonstrated from this. This is a platform of mercy. It's not a stage of performance. And mercy, the mercy of God, let me read to you out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, the authority of grace, that we may receive mercy, and in receiving that mercy may find grace in the time of trouble. How can I draw confidently to God? How can I get there? I can understand that the mercy of God is working in me to such an extent that mercy has brought me to the place where there's a desire in me to find His grace, to find His enablement, to find His power. And if I'll approach in that way, saying, God, this thing that is ruling me, I like it, but I know it needs to change. I don't want to change it. God, would You help me change it? It's a cry for mercy that God hears. And then at some point you'll touch the grace and that power to do His will. And in doing His will, you'll find the reason it was His will is because there is where you can be all that you can ever possibly be. And only there. Many of us have this picture of what we think we are. We want to be this person that always projects the power and the authority of God, and people look at us and say, oh, isn't Leroy spiritual? No, that's really not what we want. We want to look at us and say we're spiritual. And then we want to instruct Leroy in the ways of the Spirit. That's our fallen nature. That's religious humanity. That's not relational humanity. And I've been so pleased as various of the team have stepped up over the course of the past few weeks, and they've started to take on some of the load that I would normally carry. They've just begun to take it on, and it's just like it's natural. And I'm telling you, in most congregations, and I've visited with a lot of pastors, in most congregations, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. I'll tell you what, we're way up there over 50% of people that are working behind the scenes and doing things that's necessary to be done. And that makes me not proud of what we've built, but just proud to be a part of you. Because God is doing something in this house. And when I come in contact with those religious spirits that want to turn their nose up and say, well, we're going shopping. Well, go ahead, we're going to have church. We're going to do what God wants to do in this house. And we're going to move along, and we're going to see the hand of God at work. But God has so challenged me that I need to come before His mercy and to realize what's been at work in me. And I don't even know how to explain it, but there's been some things. Has anybody ever started to act and behave in a way that was a response to wrong actions in a group of people who call themselves Christians? I don't know any other way to put that, but because they have acted wrong, then in response, I begin to put walls up. And there's words that trigger something inside of me, and it's not what's intended at all, but words that trigger something inside me that makes me go back to that situation and think that that's what's being set up again. And as a church leader, I've been way too careful in trying to build protection over this body. And God has just challenged me this past week, saying, what are you trying to protect them from that I can't protect them from? What are you trying to keep from happening that I can't keep from happening? And oh, by the way, what makes you think you're even qualified? And I told the people at Monroe City this past weekend, this past few days, I said, you know, I'm just not very qualified, and God doesn't talk to me very kindly about some of that stuff. I'm telling you, if you expect him always to be some kind of a sugar daddy, just forget it. He ain't going to do it if you're going to go on with him. Sometimes he's going to talk to you very straight. You're going to find out what being a father really means. Yeah, there's times when we find out what being a friend really means. He walked with us and talks with us and encourages us and kind of pats us on the back. And there's other times there is a very stern father saying, now look at this, because if you don't look at this, you can't go where I'm going. I really want you to go. And it reminds me of dealing with my own daughter sometimes when she was young and headstrong. That I would tell her, you know, I really want to be your friend, but I'm going to be your dad. And it's up to you whether that's a friendship or not, but I'm going to be your dad. And sometimes I find God in that position. He's looking at me and saying, come on now, I'm going to be a father to you. Now, what are you going to do? Chelsea said it well this past weekend. She talked about that the church had begun to talk about unconditional love, and in truth, that's never mentioned in the Bible. God's love is very conditional. You take care of my people. You walk in my ways. And all of this unchangeable love floods toward you. But if you become a threat to my people, guess what? It's not pretty. Because you don't want to fall into the hands of an angry God. And he does get angry. But as we walk with him and as we try our best to be his friend and to be what he's created us to be, I don't know about you, but I'm so aware of the mercies of God. There's, if I can find some of these places I was reading earlier. I should have actually written down the scripture. Oh, okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love. Does he love you? Oh, absolutely. Will he respond out of that love every time you will allow him to? Yes, he will. But he's rich in mercy. He's rich in seeing that you do have a true longing within you to be what he wants you to be. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would say a large percentage of us here would raise our hand and say, I really want to be what God wants me to be. That there's something in my heart that longs for God and longs to know him, longs for that fellowship. And if that really is true, and God knows it's true, then he's going to do something inside of you that if you resist what he's doing, will cause you misery. It just will. There'll be a time when you have to come face to face with it. You can build all kinds of a life that looks like life, but it's separated from God. It ends in spiritual death. It does not end in the life of God. You can do all of that stuff, but all the time inside of you is going to be a misery that cannot be just pushed away. You can go here, you can go there, you can try to do something else. And as I'm preaching this, it comes a little bit of an explanation to me about where I've been. And I was a part, it's been some years ago now, 13, 14 years ago now, of a group of men that really were trying to learn what it was to walk together. But there are certain parts of the actual manifestation of the Spirit that began to be abused, and people began to be hurt instead of ministered to and pushed back instead of helped. And without realizing what I was doing, I began to build up a resistance to those specific manifestations rather than the wrongness of the way they were used. I was building up a resistance to the manifestations. And thinking I was doing what I needed to do as a church leader, instead I was being one of those that reached in when people would talk about how they had been wounded. I was one that reached in and kind of picked the scab off the wound and agreed with them and just wouldn't let that wound heal, because I would go with them into that and talk with them about it. And not by any intent, it just kind of the way it was. And just last week, God spoke to me, and I won't say specifically what right now, but he said, there's part of my manifestation in the church that I want you to take your hands off of and turn it loose. And that's not easy for a guy like me to hear, because I thought I'd been working together with him rather well, thank you. But he didn't think so. As he said, part of what I've designed for the church, you've been trying to keep down, and I challenge you right now to turn it loose. And there was a chain reaction within me, because I know what that means. I know what it that it's a demand from me, or a demand of me, to live differently. It's a demand of me to step up and take a place in the church that I had, without intending to, step back from and kind of abandoned. And I'll tell you what it is. Some of you will struggle with it, some of you won't, but I've known for a long time that the way I work outside of Kirksville is as an apostolic leader. And in spite of my resistance to it, in spite of my telling the young guys that were with us that I don't like being tagged with those titles, inevitably they would introduce me that way. Why? Because that was the manifestation of God on me. And I've resisted that because of what I had seen of the abuse of that kind of ministry. And God really, after he told me that there are certain aspects of manifestation that you've been suppressing, that I want you to turn loose, then he reminded me, for you to do that, you got to step back into the place that I called you and quit standing in the shadows. And honestly, I do know what that means, and I'm still not real thrilled with it, but he's God. And now, I said all that just to say this. There's some of you here, and I'm not going to even try to find out who it is. If God wants to tell me, I'll listen, but right now I'm not going to try to find out. There's some of you here that the mercy of God is causing you all kinds of problems. That in his mercy, he's keeping you on edge inside. In his mercy, he's driving you to seek for answers, and you're going in all the wrong directions. In his mercy, he's not letting you become comfortable in what you think you like. But also in his mercy, he has the authority of grace there waiting. The moment you cry out to him and say, God, I really like this mess that I'm living in. Come on, you got to own it. You can't say, God, I hate the way I'm living, because if you hated it, you'd change it. But you got to say, God, I really like my mess. Kind of enjoying this dirty diaper. But I need you to change it. Not a good picture, is it? I had a man just this past week. He didn't know how deeply he was meddling in my affairs. He was just talking. And he told me about a vision that God had given him in the deepest trauma of his life. A man that at one point in his life, spiritually and naturally, lost everything. And going through human contortions, trying to recover it, and realizing that everything he tried to do within himself was not just being successful, but was damaging to other people. He said, in that time, I cried out to God and said, God, I'm not even useful to your kingdom anymore. I can't even live life right. And God began to challenge him, said, think of when a new baby comes into the household. And then shortly after that, he began to give him an open vision of parents standing over the crib of a new baby, and they're just thrilled with that new baby. It don't really matter that the diaper's dirty. It don't really matter that the kid can't do anything. They're just thrilled that this kid made it from the darkness of the womb into life. And he got a picture of the father of the household reaching down and pulling a blanket up around that child and tucking it in and reaching over, and something I'm prone to do, because something about the skin of a baby's cheek, I'm prone to reach and run my finger down their cheek. He said, I just saw that. And then God spoke to me and he said, that's the way I see you right now. And I'm just glad you made it through alive. Hear me? I'm glad. I'm just glad that you're here and that you're responding to me. And it's going to take time to learn another language. It's going to take time to learn how to talk different than you talked before and to act in the household. But I'm so glad you're here. So glad you made it. And man, that spoke to me, because I thought, how many times in my life, as long as I've tried to serve God, how many times I've come right back to that place to realize that something in me was being born fresh and new, and that I was again just a baby in the house, and that there was something in me that was so real and so alive, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I realized that we're living in one of those moments. The Greek writers call it a kairos moment, that moment when eternity steps into time and God has looked ahead and found the exact time and said that my people's heart will be just right at this time. At this time, I can bring something fresh. I can bring something new at this time. And we're right in the middle of one of those moments that things have adjusted themselves in the church, and the American church on an underlevel has become less fascinated with itself and more fascinated with God. And there's this undercurrent of small groups of people that are just crying out, God, we need you. We don't know what's coming. We don't know what it looks like, but God, we need you. And I hear the words of the Father saying, you know, I'm so happy you guys made it through alive. You had a nail in a sure place. You had a way to get there. You had something going for you, but I'm doing something fresh, and I'm so glad that you're coming into this new day, but you don't know the language. You don't know the ways, but come on now, I'm going to tuck the covering of the blood in around you, and I'm going to cause you to want what I want and to do what I do, and I'm going to do a new thing in the earth. I'm going to cause my people to sing a new song. I'm telling you, worship team, you need to be listening, because there's songs that's not yet been sang. There's chords that's not yet been played. There's things in the realm of music that's only been in heaven's choir. And God's wanting to bring it to earth in this day. He's wanting to have not a completely new message, but a fresh message and a fresh way of looking, because there's a generation out there that can't be reached in the old ways. And that's hard for a guy like me to hear, because I've seen the hand of God at work. I've seen him do some mighty, miraculous things. And I thought I kind of knew how it worked and how it went. And now he's telling me, I'm just glad you made it through alive. You know, that's the truth. And I sometimes wonder if the diaper's a little dirty. And just saying, okay, God, I don't even know what you're talking about, because I don't understand the language, but God, I so want to go with you. I just want to be with my Father. I want to be friends with him. I don't want to leave this earth saying and having people say, oh, I remember this that he done or that. I just want people to say, I remember that he was faithful and that he followed God. That's it. And folks, if we'll just begin to get that, there's people right here in this congregation that God has made miserable. Quit blaming it on the devil. God made you miserable. You know, it's that new life when in the womb of a mother, when that time for that baby to come forth, that baby makes a decision that it's uncomfortable here in this darkness. And then the pains, the birth pains, the contraction of a mother begins to push that thing out. And I'm telling you that God in his wisdom right now in this time of the church is trying to cause birth pangs. It's going to push something out into existence that hasn't been before. And it's His mercy that's causing those pains. It's his mercy offering you His grace. He's saying, I want you to come boldly. He's not saying, I want you to come as my apostle. I want you to come as my prophet. I want you to come as my pastor, my teacher, my evangelist. He's saying, come on now, Chelsea, come boldly. Come on, Judy, come boldly. Come on, Jeremiah, come boldly. It's you that's recognized before His authority. It's you that He's cranking something down inside of you, causing you to step forth into a place you've never been. It's you. And He's wanting you to come out. Come on, come out. One of the Psalms, maybe Psalm 110, but look it up. It says that in the days of His power, and that power is one of the words that's used for contractions. In the days of those contractions, my people will volunteer. My people will begin to respond. And He says, from the womb of dawn, they will break forth. And folks, I'm telling you that we're in that one of those times when it's miserable sometimes to be a child of God right now. There's a restlessness inside of us, and for most of us, because we've been raised as consumer Christians, when that restlessness touches us, we go shopping. We'll go shopping, but we're going to find out what God wants. You know, I'm okay with going shopping, but come on back when you're ready to respond to the power of God that's starting to push you out to be something that you never dreamed you would be. You say, you know, you'd think that that's hard, but folks, that's the way it is. I'm not here to try to make an argument as to why you should be here. But if you're called here, then you're going to have to submit to the contortions that brings us out into the light of a Father that's reaching and tucking the covering of the blood back around us and saying, you know, He's not dead in the tomb, He's risen. And He's beckoning you to follow Him. Now, I'm going to give you something that it's just born in my spirit as I was praying this morning and in this service. But remember, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. And then at another point, He indicates that there would come a time when what He had been authorized to do would be complete, and He would return it to Father. Now here's what I want to ask you. Jesus also said, as my Father called me, so I call you. Has Christ given us an authority to operate and represent Him on earth? And that our whole struggle is about doing that. Not being successful, not being wealthy, not being, but our whole struggle is about offering ourselves to represent Him on earth. And there'll come a day when Revelation chapter 4, I believe it is, becomes real, when we take our crown and we cast them at His feet, saying, yes, I know I carried this authority, but I'm giving all that authority back to you, because we've fought a good fight. We've finished the course. We've kept the faith. And folks, to me, that's not about dying. That's about entering into a relationship with God where Father comes along and says, come on, let's you and me go do this. And it's not because He's making demands, but He's saying, you have developed to the point to where I want you to just come and do this with me. And our response is, yeah, God, I'm kind of tired, but let's go do it. We've won every other battle we've ever got into. Let's go win this one. Let's go take this city. Let's go win this person to Jesus. God, I take this as an assignment from you. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, let's go win this person. It might take us 5 years, but God, if you say let's go, let's go. Vamos. Let's do this. Folks, we need to understand that the mercies of God is stirring in us for a reason. You want to take it?
I don't even know exactly what I'm supposed to say, but I have so much going through my heart and my mind right now, but through worship, there was three things that hit me. And while we were singing Amazing Love, and then they started speaking on different things, I felt a spirit of condemnation and a spirit of shame on somebody, and I don't know who it is. And it could be multiple people, but we are not called to live in shame and fear and condemnation. We are called to live a life of freedom and in His mercy, and His mercy triumphs over that judgment, over that fear, over that whatever is going on in us. And I lived in condemnation and shame for many, many years, and it is not pleasant at all. But to understand his mercy, about a year ago, I asked, like, God, show me what mercy is. And the very next day, like, I'm like, God, I want to know in depth, like, show me deeper. What is this? And, you know, the mercy and grace and the difference and things like that. And so I was driving my car, and I got pulled over, and it was all my fault. It was. And I should have got a ticket. I really should have. From what I did, it was just not a smart choice. And I'm like, yep, I'm going to get a ticket. And he's like, you know what? I don't know why, but I'm going to just let you off with a warning. And he walked off, and it hit me. This is mercy. It's mercy that even in our mistakes and our failures and the things that we do wrong, he shows us mercy and kindness, and he doesn't give us what we actually deserve. Mercy is giving us what we don't deserve, and grace is giving us what we, you know, the good stuff. Like, we don't deserve this goodness, but he's going to give it to us out of grace. And his mercy is, we do deserve this junk, this, shame and all that, but he's going to take it away from us because of his mercy, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but I felt that spirit of just heaviness over somebody, and I'm just asking God, break it. I'm just going to pray for you guys. Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love that's never failing, God. Even in our weakest moments, God, you are strong when we are weak, and we are so amazed and so thankful, God. God, I pray that you just show us an in-depth, just deeper and deeper and deeper of your grace, of your mercy, of your love, of the character, God, of who you are, Father. I pray that this week that you start revealing to us, God, show us, give us opportunity to show mercy. And I know that's not going to be easy, God, but let us be aware that in those tough spots, those are our opportunities to show mercy, God. And I pray that you just show other people to give us mercy when we make mistakes, Father. God, show us, Father, who you are. God, we hunger and thirst for righteousness to become closer to you and to just be completely aware of you in every moment, of every circumstance, Father. God, let this message sink into our spirits and never leave us, God. Let us always hunger for more of you. God, be with us throughout this day, and we thank you that you always are, but just let us become aware of your presence today, and let us not just go about this week and just forget and go on as usual, but let us help us be intentional with our choices, with our thoughts, with our words. Help us be like you, Jesus. Jesus' name.
I want to, just before we close it, I just want to give opportunity. We'd love to pray with people. If there's somebody that you've been struggling and you've recognized during this message, the struggle. Joy's illustration is right on the line. It's right in line. The things we deserve because of the mercy of God, we don't get. Now think of that with people in your life. The things they deserve, they don't get because you extend mercy. You enable them to change. My goodness, how would life change for all of us if we really do that? Now, if you're here and you've been struggling, you recognize the inner struggle. And it's been basically because you like where you are. But there's a part of you that wants something better for yourself, and you'd like to just be honest and let us pray with you. I've had many people ask through the years, why do you ask people to come to the front? Simply because it breaks something. Nothing because you have to, but there's something of the human pride that when you step out and walk to the front that breaks, and that's why. So just making the offer, if you'd like us to pray with you, just come forward, we'll pray with you. If not, it's okay. Anybody?